Tonight, the Red Sox are in Houston to take on the Houston Astros, the best team in Major League Baseball. Joe Castiglione is off for the weekend. Tim Neverett will be working the game tonight with Red Sox Hall of Famer Roger Clemens. Roger joins us right now from Houston. Roger, it's Dale, Michael, and Rich. Thanks for being with us for a few minutes.
You got it, guys. Thank you.
Let's talk a little bit about the Astros first. You see them all the time. They're right there in your hometown. How did they become the best team in baseball all of a sudden?
Funny, they projected that a few years back, I think, on Sports Illustrated. But, you know, Dallas Keuchel's back in his form, even though he's down with a neck issue right now. So I'm going down. I actually just minutes away from the stadium. I'm going to visit with a few of the guys. I'll let them come. I'm going to try and pop over to the Red Sox side, too, to say hello to some familiar faces while I'm down there. But they're throwing the ball well. I always thought the swing man was Lance McCullers. You know, when we were talking, prior to the season, and I told Brian McCann that was, you know, McCullers was his project. If, you know, similar guys, when you're in Boston and I had, you know, if I was approaching 18, 19, 20 wins and really didn't have anybody to go along with me, I kind of went home and watched the playoffs on TV, which was not a lot of fun. And when we had Hursty and, you know, we had the guys that were, you know, the guys that were coming behind Lowell Can, I think, won 16 or 17. When you get the guys to win, do something like that behind you, you got a really good chance. And, of course, they're all swinging the bat now. The ballpark plays a little small to left. You know, the Crawford box is a little bit smaller than, you know, Fenway Park, of course, where you got the monster to save you a little bit if you give up something hard hit on the line. But they're just playing well. Their bullpen's, you know, unbelievable. And, you know, like I told, I've been obviously with my two younger boys watching a lot of college baseball of late, and those kids ask a lot of pointed questions, and I think they're amazed just like I am to see, you know, really how you get to the seventh inning, you got guys throwing 96, 97, and the next guy to come in to hold it's 98, and your closer's throwing 100. So it's pretty incredible to watch.
Roger, you're doing the game tonight. I'm wondering if you're interested in becoming a broadcaster.
I am not. I enjoy what I do to be able to pop in with my title with the Astros, and they'll put me on point sometimes around draft day, maybe to call kids' family or discuss that. And then, spring training is good. And then mainly, whether it's eating lunch with some of the guys on the staff or texting them or calling them, it's been a joy for me to do that. And even though, you know, like I said, two or three of the Cubs pitchers will come in when they come in town and want to golf, and then they want to have lunch and talk. So it's usually the mental part of the game and just to keep the guys, focused a little bit better than the next. And I enjoy doing that. And, like I said, I appreciate the guys when they come over and then they give their little word of wisdom to possibly some high school kids that might be over here at the house hitting or doing something like that.
Roger, you look at a guy like David Price, who he's off to a tough start this year, but for his career has been a tremendous regular season pitcher. He's got a Cy Young. He's got an ERA in his career, you know, in the low threes. But then when he goes to the postseason, no matter what year it is, it seems like he's a completely different guy. What do you make of that, where the postseason just doesn't line up at all with the regular season?
Yeah, I don't know how to explain that. All I can tell you is that each year that he gets more and more experience with it, his routine's going to get better and better. I mean, you know, David's the type of guy, like I said, I had the opportunity to watch him, I think, here last time, and I snuck up in the booth with Joe and the guys, or maybe bounced over to TV, I think, when I was at Fenway, and he was throwing. And I just like his mechanics. I like his, you know, his lines to the plate where he hides the ball. And I think he's, you know, I'm quite sure that he has a fantastic routine that he can really count on. And, I think when you're that high level and you're not performing where you want to be, it gets at you. And so you just have to, you know, even when you take a one step back, you know, take two giant steps forward and continue on. I mean, it's, I think, you know, what a treat the Red Sox, what y'all have to watch, somebody like Price and Sale, you know, pitch up their lefties that really do have at least one wipeout pitch. You know, those guys are pretty dynamic and fun to watch. So, you know, I think he, obviously he's got to get it together. You're right. I mean, he's one of those guys. You got two of them right there, and then you hopefully Porcello can get going. One of my favorite guys on the staff, and always have been, is Electric Stuff. And I don't know how heavy Joe Kelly is, but he can't weigh very much. And boy, does he get it up there! I mean, it's fun to watch him come in and pitch too. And then, you know, all the guys. Tim Timber was just, you know, he's locked in. And it's just fun to watch the guys when they do it and do it well.
We're talking with Red Sox Hall of Fame pitcher Roger Clemens, who will be working the game tonight on the Red Sox Radio Network with Tim Nevrett. I said last hour, I almost wished you were working last night's game when Chris Sale was pitching, because his game and your game seem to really coincide. From what you've seen of Sale, what is it that's made him so successful?
He looks to me when I'm looking at the TV, and thank God for TiVo, guys, because I can TiVo a lot of games and I can come watch two or three crucial innings for, like, you know, if John Lester calls or somebody like that calls, or and we can just visit about this or that. But Sale, I mean, he looks extremely focused. I thought it was interesting. I think it was just last night he was I was able to catch a couple innings when I got home. He had a slider that he was dropping down on his speed. It wasn't a power slider. It was more of a changeup slider with more break that he was featuring too. And I got to tell you, there's not probably a start that goes by. I've got a couple of really good friends that are huge Red Sox fans down here also. And I'll get a text, Sale's on the mound and he's got 5 strikeouts out of 6 guys, you know, that he's going to jump that 20 strikeout game. So I'll check him out, but he's got it going on. And like I said, he's fun to watch too, because he is, you know, I don't know that he throws anything straight.
You know, Roger, we were talking before you came on. Your Hall of Fame numbers have gone up pretty significantly the past few years. I'm wondering if you're paying attention to this on Hall of Fame days, if you're looking at the trends, and if you look forward to being in the Hall of Fame, if that's important to you.
Sure, sure it is. And like I said, I can't control it one bit, guys. But, you know, each year that goes on, I don't pay attention to it, but obviously, I get phone calls and texts and emails from a lot of people all over the country. So, and a lot of nice letters and calls to my foundation. So, I appreciate it. I have no control over it. I appreciate the people that have paid attention to details and how I went about my work. And like I said, I think I did it the right way. And I went out there and did what I had to do, and I did it the right way. So, again, I have no control over that. You know, what you think about on those days is all the guys that you would have to thank. You don't go to the Hall of Fame because beating your own chest. You have a lot of players that probably will never have an opportunity to get there that really helped you get there. And those are the guys that I think about, especially all the guys that were my catchers over those 24 years. They were very good. They paid attention to detail. And, you know, I called probably 90% of my game from the mound. And those guys stayed real in tune with me. So those are the things I think about when you talk about Hall of Fame or getting an individual achievement like that. I would hope that guys, instead of it's all about them, understand that they're there because of some teammates, and most of those teammates that will never have the chance to be there.
I'm curious, with your 20-plus years in the majors, which guy that you faced was the toughest for you to get out?
Well, easy question for me, because it's the guys, the contact guys, especially when I was at Fenway or really any other stadium other than maybe Oakland Coliseum, where you have a lot of foul ground. The first two, you know, guys that led off the game, if I get an 11-pitch at bat with one of them, then, you know, I'm only going to the 7th inning maybe. Then if it happens again, I'm a 6th inning pitcher. So I was trying to throw, you know, I had a pretty heavy sinker, so I was trying to throw the ball extremely hard, and what we call a bowling ball in there, and have those guys hit it in the ground and get them out of there as quick as I could. And, you know, somebody like I just sent Albert Pujols, who got his 600th. I sent him a nice text, and we had a chat. And you know, he always knew every, at least the big power guys knew every at bat I was going to give them at least one pitch to hit, and if they fouled it off or missed it, you know, I'm pretty much going to take them down from there. But you know, that's the game within the game. There's some, you know, those big power hitters are swinging pretty hard, so you got to get it in their area. But for sure, especially when I came to the National League, when I retired for the second time, I think, or whatever it was, and came home to relax, and then the Astros asked me to play, and you know, being in the National League, that was the key for me, along with having I had a couple really good managers down here, but one being Jimmy Williams, who I think is one of the best baseball men around.
Jimmy at his age, and with my advanced career and my numbers, he grabbed me in Kissimmee, and we would go in the batting cage 7:30, 7:45 in the morning, and he would throw and make me bunt and have me bunt, and I would bunt another 15, 20 minutes off of a machine that was throwing extremely hard. And Jimmy was dead on. He said, look, I know your credentials, I know everything else, but if you can show me that you can handle the bat and get a bunt down, that'll allow me to leave you in the game in the sixth, seventh, maybe eighth inning, and it'll probably add up to about 5 wins in your on your record before the season was over, and he was dead on.
Roger, we're looking forward to the game tonight. You're working with Tim Neverett down there in Houston. We appreciate you taking a few minutes.
Yep, and a shout-out to Joe C., Joe Castiglione. I mean, Joe asked me to do this. So I appreciate it. We're going to have to be here, so we're going to have some fun with it, hopefully.
Thanks, Roger.
Okay, guys.
Thanks. Take care.
All right, Roger.
It is Red Sox Hall of Fame pitcher Roger Clemens, who will be working the game tonight in Houston. We're a little bit late with the break. When we come back, we'll get back to this Celtics news. Because multiple sources are now saying that the Celtics are deep in talks to send the number one overall pick to the Philadelphia 76ers for the third overall pick and other things.
We need
that's the
details.
Question.
We need details.
We need to
on
know
what the
other things
are. Man.
Because several reports say there are no players involved. This is just picks. Future.
So maybe
it's got to be a lot of picks.
You know what, Keith? Maybe it goes back to, and we'll talk about it on the other side, it goes back to Josh Jackson, that they really want him. Yeah. They feel like they can get him at 3. But what if the Lakers take him? Would the Lakers take him at 2?
617-779-7937, Sports Radio, WEEI.